Good to see everybody out this morning. And the ones that are missing, I hope I didn't scare them off. I heard somebody say that when we were getting started. But I just want to tell you that, you know, Pastor asked me to give a sermon today. And as you can already see, I'm very nervous. I am just really nervous. And I just ask you all to bear through this with me. And this be the best sermon you hear for the next, 10, 15 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. 25 minutes, maybe. My title this morning is on usefulness. I might just get a little bit personal, and I might not. But God knows your heart this morning. So, how many people here today can actually say that they are surely being used by God? Some of us can, some of us can't. Or you might say, how can I be used by God? To some, being used by God is a dangerous phrase. We need to listen not only with our hearts, but with our soul. It goes deeper than a feeling. It goes way deeper. God loves you, and people need to know that. Jesus wants all of us to do something for him. Some do a lot. Some do little. Some don't do any at all. They feel they can just sit in church. Maybe something will happen. Maybe something might not. Maybe you'll go leave here today and you might die. You know, nobody wants that to happen. First, we want you to know that Jesus loves you. That's the most important thing. Yesterday, I went to an ATV course. Let's just use this as an example. I already knew how to ride my ATV. Sure, I've been in a, tipped it over a couple of times or so, but maybe once, you know, I knew how to ride it. I had an owner's manual. That should be good enough. You know, but it's not. You got to be trained how to ride it, respect it, know that it can hurt you, just like life can hurt people. I can come to church, but am I here for the wrong reason or am I here for the right reason? I want to be here for the right reason. I read the Bible, but do I know the Bible? I honestly don't. But we need to be, that's why we come to church, for fellowship and to be taught correctly how to read and interpret the Bible. Therefore, God can use us later in a manner as long as we open up to him. So if you turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 10, verse 12. And says, this is an Assyrian judgment. Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. For he saith, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent, and I have removed the bounds of the people and have robbed their treasures. And I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. And my hand hath found as a nest the riches of the people, and as one gathereth eggs that are left, have I gathered all the eggs, have I gathered all the earth. And there was none that moved the wing, or opened the mouth, or peeped. Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh itself? Against them that lift it, or as if the staff should lift up itself, as if it were no wood. If you read in this story about the Assyrians, they were bad people. They're proud of their own victories that God permitted. But they were proud because they believed that they did it. They thought they had accomplished everything in their own power. Like us, we're only human. I mean, we can easily become distorted by our own pride and accomplishments. That is why we must acknowledge that God is in control all the time. The glory is his. We also learn that there is no instrument or tool that accomplishes its purpose without a greater power. There's carpenters in this room. I mean, most of us know for sure that a hammer or a saw would say, look what I have done. No, that's not true. No, it's the carpenter that uses the tool, puts it to work. The Assyrians here were a tool in God's hand, but they failed to recognize it. We must be open to God for his use for us. And when he does use us, we give him the glory. We are useful only to the extent that we allow God to use us. Another example, turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 27. Everyone knows the story. To a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, in the story about Mary, we all know that she was young, she was poor, all the characteristics of someone at that time that could not be used for a major task for God. But as we read on, God chose to use Mary for the most important task of obedience he has ever demanded of anyone, the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes we start to feel unusable. Our ability, our experience, or even our education makes us an unlikely candidate to be used for God's service. Please, we do not need to limit God's ability or his choice to use us. He will and does use us if we are saved and truly trust in him for everything. So don't limit his ability. We, as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, need to find courage to speak up for what is wrong. We need to be used by God every day, not just showing up for church. We need to stand and shout that Jesus is the reason I live, I talk, I love, I sing. We need to be an encouragement for each other. I'm just going to tell you a little story that happened to me. I was in a hurry one day, and I had to get some stuff at Fleet Farm. We were working in Glenwood. And I took off, and I ran to Glenwood. I was just in a hurry. Nothing was going to slow me down. I got to get to Fleet Farm, got to get this part, got to get this, and I'm done, I'm out, and I'm gone. I went in Fleet Farm, I seen a guy I knew, he was coming right at me, and his whole face was just sad. I could tell. I knew him, you know. I knew him on a personal basis because we're related, and he had been crying. I could tell he had been crying. He's just a young man. He says, hi, Rex, how you doing? And I could tell there was something wrong with his voice. And I said, what's wrong? You know, what's wrong with you? And he said, Rex, my wife just left me. I was in a hurry. I can't be stopped to talk to him about this. I mean, I gotta go, you know. I said, I'm sorry. I gotta go. I said, I don't know what to say. I'm not a counselor. I'm not even a preacher. I'm just a guy who was in a hurry to get some parts and get back to work, you know. And so I talked to him, gave him a couple minutes, and I said, you know, I'm really sorry to hear that. I said, I hope everything works out. See ya. And I took off. You know, the minute I turned, my heart went boom. There was a fist that was just launched right into me. I was just saddened. I started to cry. I turned back around. He was already gone. Did God use me? He didn't use me. He was gone. He didn't know God. He knew of him, but did he know him in his heart? I don't think so. There wouldn't have been a problem. It affected me for quite a while. I told a couple of people about it. You know, it's very sad. As I mentioned from the beginning about being nervous, That's true. When Pastor asked me to preach this Sunday, I laughed. Come on, who am I? He says, no, I'm not kidding. I said, I'll think about it. I thought about it and prayed about it. I said, okay, Pastor, I'll do it. I said, I think I can do it. But you know what? The last 2 weeks, I did not want to be here. I did not want to be up here. I didn't want, you know, I just wanted to call Pastor and say, Pastor, forget it. Get somebody else. You know, this is just way too hard for me. But God used two people to tell me. Because I mentioned these two people because I told them. I said, I'm not going to preach Sunday. First person said, yes, you are. You have to. And I looked at her. Okay. The second person, I told this guy, and he looked at me and he says, Rex, you have to. What is it, my duty? Is it my job? No. He said, you have to. And I said, okay, I will. God's plan was not going to be altered by anyone, especially me. He wanted me to be here. Many of you don't know my background. I'll just share a little bit of it. This is truly a story. Ask Lowe. I mean, I almost witnessed, basically told him a story all the way to South Dakota and back in just a few hours, it felt like, anyway. But I grew up in Stillwater, and when I lived in Stillwater, we lived right across from the prison. I wasn't the greatest child or kid like everybody thinks I was. But my mom used to tell me, that place over there, that prison, that's going to be your home. Today I can honestly say, I've proved my mother wrong, and it's a good thing. It is not a bad thing to prove her wrong today. But I could tell you 20 years ago, there's no way that I would be standing up here saying anything about Jesus Christ, the one who saved me. And look what he gave me. He gave me a great family. He gave me people I can count on and rely on, a church family. A church family that can change your whole life. He uses people to assist you because you assist them. Jesus is everything to me. Someone that was used by God to show others that the Lord watches over them would be found in 1 Samuel. If you turn there, chapter 17. People know the story. Another famous story about a young man. Chapter 17, verse 48. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head and therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. What a victory. God used David. Why'd God use David? Because God loved David. David was a humble young boy. His heart was not changed. It was strong for God. As a young youth, he even slew a lion and a bear and told his brothers of it. Did they believe him at the time? No way. My brother sits here today. Hey, Phil, did I kill a lion? He wouldn't believe me. You know, especially when being young. But God uses people. David was just a little boy. He was not, you know, in if you read back in Samuel here, the seven sons of Jesse passed before Samuel. And then speak in his ear in each case to say this was not the right one. That was in chapter 16, verse 7 through 10. When none were chosen, Samuel knew something was wrong because he had been directed by God to anoint one of Jesse's family as a king. Then he learned of another son who had been too busy to come to the feast. He was young and perhaps smaller than the others, but he was chosen by God, who was looking on the heart and not the outward appearance. The Lord saw in him a man after God's own heart. David became a mighty man of valor. He is referred to as a mighty warrior and able to do more than any other in battle. He killed a lion and a bear as a youth, as I said. His own mighty men referred to him as being worth 10,000 of them in war. But as a bodily appearance, he was small, ruddy. But he had a beautiful countenance and good to look at. He had the true qualities of a king. But compared to his grown-up brothers, he was not even counted enough, important enough to be urged to attend the feast. This is truly the type of people God works through. He works his best through these type of people. They humble themselves to God. David solely put his trust in God. There's just no doubt. I'm going to tell you another story. And this time I won't save the ending until the end of my sermon. I'm just going to finish it. There was a boy by the name of Peter. He lived in Holland. And Peter's dad worked on the gates in the dikes called sluices. His dad opened and closed the sluices so that ships could pass in and out of Holland, out of Holland's canals into the Great Sea. One afternoon, Peter's mother came to him and she says, "I have an errand for you to go across the dike and go and give something to your friend." He was a blind man across the dike. Now, Peter's only 8 years old. His mother counted on him to do this. She said, "If you hurry back, you can be home before dark and for supper." So Peter, full of joy, took off. "I can do it." He went across that dike, went to his friend's house, and was visiting with him for quite a while. And then he remembered his mother's wish that he be home before dark. So Peter packed up. He says, "I have to leave." And he left. And he ran to the dike where he had to cross. And as he was crossing, it had rained while he was visiting his friend. And he looked and the waters had swollen up. And he just got wondering, you know, about how strong those gates must be that his dad opens up. How strong the walls of the dikes must be. Suddenly he remembered he better hurry home. His mom would be watching for him. So he took off again. But as he started, he heard a trickle of water. Wow, why would there be a trickle of water? Here I have a big pool of water, and down there there's the houses. So he looked over the edge of the dike, and he could see a stream of water coming out of the wall. Now Peter knew instantly that with that leak, there would be a bigger leak. Maybe the whole thing would come crashing down before he even got back home. So Peter, without even realizing the danger, went over the side, stuck his finger right into the hole, and stopped the water. He says, "Praise God, the water stopped. I'm holding back the angry waters with my finger." Wow, what a victory that would be. But then he realized he's in trouble. So he started to yell. He started to yell for help. There was no reply, nothing coming back to him. So he just started to pray, "God, just watch over me. I will stay here as long as I need to. Just give me the strength to make it." It became dark and cold. Peter's hand just became numb in the hole. He just began to rub it. He knew what he was doing was correct. He knew his mom would be looking for him. His dad would be looking for him. Or maybe they would think he spent the night at his friend's house. the very next morning, his dad was out going across the dike. He heard groaning. He didn't know where it was coming from. He just heard this moaning noise. He went to the edge, and there he saw his little boy hanging on for dear life with his hand in the wall. He said, "Son, are you okay?" He looked up and he said, "I'm okay. I'm holding back the angry waters, Dad." He said, "Send help." His dad, without even thinking, sound the alarm. People came running. They saved him. They mended the hole. This was a boy that was truly used by God to save many lives. To this day, Holland has never forgot their brave little hero. He may have been small, but to them, he was a lot. You may be asking, how can I be used by God? I'm not rich. I don't have an important job. I'm too young. I'm too old. How can God use me? I have no talents to speak of. I can't sing. I can't even do karaoke. I have been told by other people that I wouldn't amount to anything. And now, people, now you expect me to believe that God wants to use me, the all-powerful, almighty Savior. That is exactly what I'm saying. The examples I have given you show that God uses those that would least expect it. Sometimes God uses those that seem mighty or important, like the Assyrians. But too often, though, God does not get the glory. When God uses ordinary people and they remain humble, God can and will get the glory. Amen. Knowing what God's use for you is not an easy task. It never is. It's a hard work and a lot of commitment. We start first. The first and very important thing, you must first realize that Jesus loves you. And you ask him to come into your life, into your heart, and change begins to happen. Number two, second thing, we must be giving him obedience. There's no way to explain it, just obedience. Follow him, trust him, read his word, find a church family. Number three, be humble. Live on his word. Victories will be won everywhere. I just ask that we all bow our heads. I want you just to examine your life and say, God, use me. With every head bowed and every eye closed, how many here would say, God, use me. Use me to your fullness. Then sharpen me like a sword to be used for your glory. Oh, Lord, that's the cry of our hearts today. We honor you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I give you the glory today for giving me the strength to be up here, Lord Jesus. I give you so many thanks that I don't know where to end, and I wouldn't even know where to start, Lord. There's just so much you have done for me. I thank you so much, Lord Jesus. Even as we all sit here and examine our own hearts, I know each one of us have a story. Each one of us has something to say that God has used them. If God hasn't used you, I suggest just give him the glory. be saved, be humble, live on His word. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the people that are here today. I thank you so much for going to the cross, Lord. That was a victory that I shall never forget, Lord Jesus. You took my sins and you bare them all, Lord. I thank you so much for remembering me. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.
Father in heaven, we just come before you in this prayer and ask, Jesus. Thank you for who you are, what you are. As we have heard your word this morning, may we be committed in all things, wherever we go, whatever we do, may we be committed to your teachings, Lord, and tell others the good news of Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Yes.
For the sins of the whole world.
Yes.
Oh Lord, increase, Lord, our witness for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.